I would like to read today from Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, from the verse number 28 to the verse number 34. 28 to 34. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is the short passage I desire to read for this afternoon's meditation. Well, let's take time for prayer now. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, there are so many blessings and gifts, so many testimonies of Thy goodness and mercy. There is so much that Thou hast done and are doing for us, O Lord, that we cannot number Thy loving kindnesses. How can we ever, O Lord, thank Thee and praise Thee and glorify Thy name, as limited as we are? O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, when we behold the multitude of Thy good deeds toward us, gracious Lord, Thou art blessing our souls with the desire to enter into that blessed and glorious eternity, to worship Thee and to rejoice in Thy goodness and mercy endlessly, to glorify Thy name, O Heavenly Father, far away from sin and iniquity, far away from the darkness of human ignorance, and in full bright light of Thy holy face. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. Glory and honor belong unto Thee, O Thou King of kings and Lord of lords. Thou surrounded by the praises and the glorification of the heavenly host, Lord God Almighty, Thou art mindful of Thy poor and little children, whom Thou hast enriched by Thy grace and Thy blessings, O God. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for the blessings of this morning meeting. We thank Thee and we praise Thee, O Lord, that the fountain of life and truth and love everlasting is still as rich as it was in the days when Thou wast first proclaiming Thy gospel through the testimony of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and hardly anyone believed. Thy goodness and the enormous, measureless wealth of Thy grace, O Lord, Thou hast made available in Christ even today. Gracious Lord Almighty God, we thank Thee for the sincere and beautiful testimony that Thou hast blessed us today with. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for Thy goodness and grace outpoured on the young heart and the soul that Thou hast redeemed in Christ, and by the gentle and mighty, patient and enduring power of Thy Holy Spirit delivered from the yoke of bondage. We praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, for making the dawning of the light of Thy truth fall upon the soul that Thou hast redeemed. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou bless Thy gospel in his heart, and that Thou, O Heavenly Father, confirm Thy presence and Thy power by that deep inner circumcision of heart and mind and tongue. Gracious Lord Almighty God, grant us full consecration. Make us, O Heavenly Father, the true and faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Separate us from the world and arm us with the living gospel, our Savior and Redeemer, that we may reach out to the souls in need of Thy salvation. Gracious Lord Almighty God, watch over us and protect us, lead us and teach us. Purify and sanctify Thou us, enlighten us, make us true and faithful, witnessing to Thy truth, proclaiming Thy gospel, declaring the year of Jubilee, the day of grace, and heralding the day of judgment. Gracious Lord Almighty God, guide us in our prayers, praises and thanksgivings. Bless us with obedience, faithfulness and zeal for Thy name. Multiply the fruits of righteousness. Grant us the fruits of Thy Spirit, Lord, as we face threats, opposition, hatred, Thou fill us with courage, make us calm and strong by the power of Thy Spirit ruling in our hearts, controlling our life, directing our steps on the path of righteousness. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, make us patient and kind and firm and strong. Make us meek and humble, modest. Grant us wisdom from above, that in meekness we can share Thy mighty word that has the power to save. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the redemption in Christ Jesus. We praise Thee, Lord, for every soul that Thou hast given as a present to Thy beloved Son, for every soul that Thou hast redeemed in Christ Jesus to a sacrifice the only sacrifice that is worthy to take away our sins. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, bless and multiply the message and the testimony of Thy Gospel. Exalt the name of Christ Jesus, glorify Thy Son, defeat the enemy. Make us faithful, Lord. Multiply the fruit of Thy Spirit, we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may Thy will be done. For Thou hast promised, and Thou wilt complete the work of Thy wonderful salvation. Gracious Lord, give us grace and power to haste to the goal, and patience and endurance to wait for Thy glorious coming. Amen. Through faith, he, that is Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This was possibly, is talking about Passover only, but he also, the writer of the scripture, could have referred to a wider section of the scripture. First, that is possible, I think, because the verse 27 is before the verse 28. By faith he forsook Egypt. The first Passover was before they forsook Egypt. Marking the doorposts with the blood of the Passover lamb could have been done by sprinkling by the branch of hyssop, but in other languages and some other translations, it's not sprinkling, it's shedding of blood. Passover was not sprinkling, it was shedding. Application of the Passover to the doorposts could have been either shedding or sprinkling. But in any case, we read here that through faith they kept the Passover. Moses commanded the children of Israel. Moses had to believe the word of God in order to command that to the children of Israel. If Moses was overwhelmed with the questions and doubts, if he in his mind was more insecure than sure that the Lord is going to deliver them that night from the land of Egypt, it would be very difficult for Moses to say to the children of Israel, this night you will slay the Passover lamb, and with the blood of the lamb you will mark the doorposts. If Moses did not believe that through the blood of the Passover lamb, the Lord is leading his people out of the house of slavery into the promised land. So, through faith he did that, Moses did. Through faith he commanded the children of Israel to make the Passover sacrifice, to celebrate something that is coming. Every Passover after that was a commemoration of the wonderful deliverance when Yahweh, the Almighty God, delivered his people from the land of Egypt, out of the chains of their slavery, into the liberty of doing his will, that most of them never entered. But that's a different page of the scripture. At this time, in the verse 28, they did that through the faith. It was the faith of Moses. But there must have been some faith in the hearts of the children of Israel, since they obeyed. How much faith and how much faithlessness? It will be very difficult to judge. Maybe mostly because it's not ours to judge, but to observe. God is the judge of the heart and mind of people, His people and all the people. To Him, every secret is not a secret. None of the secrets are secret to Him. He knows everything. So they kept the Passover, celebrating something that is coming. Many years later, the Lord Jesus Christ observed the Passover with His disciples. His disciples were commemorating the deliverance from the land of Egypt. The Lord Jesus Christ was heralding, ushering in the new era, the true Lamb of God, the real Passover, from the slavery to sin into the liberty of living and walking in Christ. And just as the children of Israel, there will be many called and few that believed and obey. Many will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way as being ready to turn back when the first suffering and adversity meets them on the way to the promised land. I remember that story, the Pilgrim's Progress, how that Christian pilgrim had many difficulties, many troubles, and his short time co-traveler walked with him for a while, and after the first testing and trial turned back and ran as fast as he could into the city of destruction. Now, he didn't want adversities, which means he did not want to follow him who endured the greatest adversity ever. If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have difficulties. We will have something to suffer, never as much as He did, because He is the Lamb of God, and we are delivered by His blood. They did that by faith, still being in the land of Egypt. The blood of the Lamb marked the doorposts of their houses. And the angel of the Lord visited all the other homes. And there was no house in all of the land of Egypt where there was no death. Screams, lamentations, crying throughout the land of Egypt. And the arrogancy, the pride of Pharaoh received a painful bleeding wound. So in the morning, that night, he rose up and told to Moses and Aaron, "Rise and go, and stay not. And take all that is yours, everything that you have said. And pray for me. Entreat the Lord for me." Why did he say that? Did he all of a sudden love the Lord? No, he remained an enemy. But at this time he feared the Lord more than before. So he tried to bribe the Lord. But that didn't work. He had to enter into his own destruction in the Red Sea, and that is coming. So, in the homes of those that were ruling, there were signs of a last battle. In the homes of those that were suffering, there was a new hope of deliverance. And soon, the signs of the last battle will turn into full destruction. And the signs of a new hope into full deliverance. They did that through faith. I would think that their faith was based on the past miracles that the Lord did, for they did not know the Lord. Moses was a servant of God. The others seemed to be either servants of their own wishes or, in the best case, servants of Moses. Yet the testimony of God's truth continued, and in the end was victorious. They have obeyed the word of God. If they did not, their firstborn would have died too, because that was the promise of the Lord. In every house that is not marked by the blood of the Passover lamb, there will be death. And so it was. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Lest they should be touched by the destruction from the hand of the Lord. Our Lord and Savior confirmed that kind of faith. Much later, when he said, "These are my brethren, this is my family, that hear the word of my Father and obey it. Keep it." By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land. By faith. Do you remember when they came to the shores of the Red Sea and they turned back and looked, and the Egyptian army was marching toward them? They yelled, they shouted, they protested, they panicked. Were there not sufficient number of graves in the land of Egypt? They said to Moses, "Why hast thou led us out that we die in the wilderness?" It looks like it's much more comfortable to die in slavery than in the wilderness. I don't see what is that preferred difference, other than what is now is the worst, everything is better. Even the worst part of our past is better. It's past already. So, let's complain, let's protest, if we don't know how to pray, if we don't know how to wait on the Lord. And that's what Moses was learning by the grace of God and teaching the others all the time. And yet it was faith. What kind of faith? Faith that would end up in obedience. If they didn't have that much faith, they would have turned back and said, oh no, we surrender to Egyptians rather than to trust the Lord to hold the water back. But they did believe. Perhaps it was necessary to have the fear of the Egyptians in order that by faith they walk through the Red Sea. Because sometimes our faith is strong enough to believe intellectually but not to obey. So we could say that the Lord was very gracious to them when he allowed the Egyptians to come that close. So they didn't have attraction of rebelling, attraction toward destruction. They feared the Egyptian army and they believed the Lord, so they walked through the Red Sea, across on the dry land. What kind of faith had the Egyptians? They entered through the same passage. That was the faith of pride. That was the faith of despising the Lord. Not believing that the Lord has made that passage for his people, but thinking, if they passed, we can pass through. They were wrong. They were just as wrong, I think, as Simon the magician in Samaria. If the Holy Spirit is given when the apostles laid their hands on the head of those that were baptized in water, then he will give them money and buy that ability, thinking that the power of the Holy Spirit is merchandise, something that can be bought, purchased, and sold. He was wrong too. Peter and John were not attracted to that money. Actually, it was very repulsive, very ugly to them. Even so much that they could not talk to him kindly or politely. Thy money perish with thee. It's a judgment. Very judgmental tone and style of talking. And properly so. It was not faith. It was superstition on part of Simon the magician. So, the Egyptians behold the Hebrews walking through the Red Sea. But they also see the cloud right in front of them, preventing them from getting on the children of Israel. And yet, they will not fear the Lord. So they entered into the Red Sea, but they could not reach the other shore. Not only, they were not able to reach the first shore. They didn't have time to go back. You see, there's an awful thing. If the patience and loving kindness of the Lord is taken as a permit, a license to sin, that's a way of destruction. I wonder how many sons Pharaoh had. Only that one that died in the night of the Passover? Or had he some other children? I wonder if the Lord slew or took the life of one Pharaoh's child each time when he promised a miracle, each time when the Lord announced a plague. Could it be that Pharaoh would have feared the Lord and would have allowed the children of Israel to go? But the Lord had a different plan. He was patient with Pharaoh. And there was a special purpose for that. The Lord said, "For this very purpose I raised thee up, that on thee I will show all of my miracles, my power." It's an awful thing to fall into the hands of